Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. We'll read verses 5 through 10 together. Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 5 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or the woman, What hast thou brought forth? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Thank you for your watch care. Thank you that you love us. The Holy Spirit of God, please do what only you can do this evening. Work through our preacher to meet the needs of literally hundreds and hundreds of people in this room. Lord, please change our lives tonight so that we might live more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I want you to know right off the bat, I am not going to romp and stomp and spit and snort. I won't give a bunch of illustrations. I'm going to teach this evening, and because of what I'm going to say, it just requires that of me. I have to concentrate a little extra on this, and so I want you to listen real carefully. The title of my sermon this evening is Accept Yourself. God does. Accept yourself. God does. First of all, let me tell you something. We have a dreaded enemy, and that enemy is called humanism. It's the over-exaltation of the human. And we want man somehow in our society to be exalted above God, and that's not supposed to be so. God is always to be exalted above man. The created ought to always bow down to the Creator. And we get this idea that we ought to make our decisions based on what we think, and that is a lie. We should base our decisions on what God thinks, and that you get from the Bible. Now, we read earlier from the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 9 and 10. And let me give you a couple little highlights of those verses. The Bible says, Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. A few words later it says, Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Here, we are the clay. God is the potter. Should we question the potter as to what he made us into? Should we strive with our maker? No, not at all. We should not. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't want to be. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible Baptist preacher. And that's all I've ever known. I did not come out of a denomination and became a Baptist. I've only been a member of an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church. I don't know of anything else. I don't have anything else to compare it to. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm very proud of that. I have, through the years, counseled a lot of people and tried to help a lot of people. I have become friends to many, many people through the years. Now, you know, one of the hardest people for me to become friends with are people with low self-worth. Now, I don't use the word self-esteem because I think we ought to be very careful esteeming self. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I like the word self-worth. You, as an individual, a creation of God, you have a value to God. You have a worth to God. The hardest people to become friends with are those of low self-worth. But the most rewarding people to become friends with are those with low self-worth when they realize You accept them, they accept that, and then you get comfortable in a relationship. They can become very, very loyal people once you get past all the insecurities. Boy, are there a lot of insecurities today. As you all sit out there, you're going to say, well, Brother Owens, I know you didn't mean this for me, but many of you are going to sit and say, boy, did I need that. Well, I'm not going to admit to anybody that sermon was for me. We live in a very insecure society. The further our society gets away from God and God's intent for our lives, the more insecure we're going to get. Why? Well, we're on the wrong path, and it's scary when you're on the wrong path. If there's an insecurity, staying close to God will bring security in your life. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to teach. I'll be a little bit like a classroom this evening. Tonight, I want to look at how you look at you and how you view you. And let me tell you something. You won't hear me preach many sermons like this, because the truth is, I believe one of the best things for you to do is not be self-centered and just get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on somebody else. Self-centered, or people that over-examine themselves, one of the keys is just get your eyes off yourself and go help someone else, and you'll get over some of that. And I think that is one of the primary cures for this thing of a lack of self-confidence. And I want to be very careful. When I say self-confidence, I believe our confidence should be in the Lord. I believe our confidence should be in the Holy Spirit. I think our confidence should be in the Bible. But there's something to this thing of you believing that God can use you. You're going to have to accept yourself so that you can go on and accept certain things about God and others. Maybe I want to talk to you about self-acceptance, or maybe what we'll discuss this evening is you having a proper attitude about you. Every depressed person I have ever counseled with has a problem with self-acceptance. Many of you are what you think you are. And because you have a low opinion of yourself, then you have a low spirit. You know, what other people think of you is not nearly as important as what God thinks of you.
Right.
What other people think of you is really not nearly as important as what you think of yourself. Why is it that we exalt what everybody else thinks about us, which can get us down? We exalt it above what God thinks of us.
Right.
If I could get you to develop the right attitude about what God's attitude is toward you, some of you would be so much better off. Stop basing everything you do on humans. Look at what God thinks. Now, let's face it. All of us have a self-image. Whether that image is good or bad, it's going to affect your behavior. Whether that image that you have of yourself is good or bad, it's going to affect your attitudes or your productivity and ultimately your success in life. Thoughts produce feelings, and feelings produce actions. That's the way it is. Your thoughts produce feelings. Your feelings produce actions. A person who will maintain a spiritual confidence and a spiritual self-image will perform to their maximum ability for God. But if you don't maintain a good spiritual confidence, then you will not be as productive for God. The insecure person who lacks that confidence will not fulfill their potential. There are all sorts of people under the sound of my voice who have amazing potentials for God, but you're nowhere near fulfilling your potential because you lack so much spiritual confidence that you've weakened yourself. And you're just treading water spiritually instead of going forward and making great strides for God. Now, one of the key elements to accepting yourself or having a good self-image is realizing that when you got saved, Jesus Christ accepted you just like you were. He forgave you. And get this, He forgave your past. He forgave your present. He forgave your future failures. And He said, I accept you. Get this, when you got saved, here's what some of you need to do. You got saved, you need to accept yourself the way God accepted you. He accepted you like you were, and He has some great plans for your future. And if some of you would say, you know what, I am what I am, and I think God has some wonderful things for my future, we could get some of your lives rolling in the right direction. But you don't think that way. Look, when you got saved, you became a part of the family of God. That is fantastic. Do you realize? You say, I don't have a good family background. You got a good family future.
Amen.
You're a part of the family of God. Hey, you're no longer an outsider. Hey, you insecure people that are scared of your own shadow and you think failure is every step that you take in life. You're no longer an outsider. You're an insider now. You're on the inside track. You're a child of God. You say, I didn't have a good dad. You've got one now. You've got the heavenly papa. You've got your heavenly father. See, many people let other people's opinion of them influence their own opinion of themselves. Others' opinions then come before God's. Now, you need to let God's opinion of you come long before anybody else's opinion of you. And so, you know what happens? This thing's a vicious cycle. What you think of yourself affects what other people think of you. And then what other people think of you affects what you think of yourself. But you know, if you don't kick yourself out of that thing, and you better start seeing yourself the way God sees you, or the vicious cycle will continue. You feel bad about yourself. Because you feel bad about yourself, that affects how people feel about you. Then you watch how they feel about you, and they don't feel good about you, so you don't feel good about you because they don't feel good about you. And it is a vicious cycle. Stop that thing and say, I am a child of God. I am in the family of God, and God has some wonderful plans for me. And I wish we could accomplish that somehow this evening. Some of you, you are your own worst enemy. You know, people with low self-worth will go to extremes to protect themselves and their children from others' influence, while their own influence is harsh and more destructive than the ones from which they're trying to protect their kids. But we're runners. We hide. Now let me see if I can help you. First of all, do not let others' attitude influence what you think of yourself. Look, folks, we cannot spend our entire life letting other people influence our attitudes. We just can't do that. You should value yourself as God values you, not as others value you. Look, if it comes down to a human's attitude about your value and God's attitude about your value, you go to the bank, God's got the right attitude. God's got the right attitude. Listen, would you really like to know how valuable you are to God? He gave His Son for you. God, amen. God gave His Son for you. Now I have a question for you. Will you give your Son for anybody? No, you won't. God's Son was the perfect Son of God. Now, if you'd like to get God's evaluation of what you're worth, you just stop and look at what He paid for you. Now, you are valuable to God. You need to value yourself the way that God values you. And I'm not talking about a pride and an arrogance, but some of you need to wake up and realize you are a designer model. God created you, and God paid a big price for you. And some of you, your bad attitude about yourself, it's wrong. You better stop and realize what you mean to God. So, you should value yourself as God values you, because God paid a high price for you. You know, listen, folks, let me teach you something. You cannot always judge what people think of you by their appearance or their actions towards you. Do you know that there are times when you'll look at someone and maybe they're concentrating, maybe they're doing something else, but your mind said, oh, look at how they look at me. Oh, no, I know what they're thinking. You don't know what anybody's thinking. You don't have ESP. Well, I know what they're thinking. I know what that look meant. No, you don't. No, you don't. We are so sensitive. We are so frail. We walk around. Everybody around us, we got to walk around each other on eggshells. Look at that. Oh, no, no. I know what they were thinking. They were picking their nose. They were not thinking of you. Oh, the way we are. You know, someone may laugh, or someone may smile, or someone may make a facial gesture or movement, and you think it was all about you. And that is not always necessarily true. You know, sometimes people make a sour face because they have indigestion. You want to know something? If my self-image was based on the faces that people make at me while I'm preaching, I would be suicidal. I mean, I got to write off about half of it, the fact that somebody just got bad gas or something. I'm looking out there and they're going, rolling their eyes. You know what? I can't stop doing what I do because somebody's got a problem and they can't sit still. But we're so temperamental. You ever notice it? We are so temperamental. Somebody can turn their nose up a little bit and you thought they were turning their nose up at you. Look, you better see yourself as God sees you and value yourself as God values you. You cannot always judge what people think of you based on their appearance or some facial expression. What other people think of you is usually a reflection of your own self-image anyway. If you feel inferior, you're going to produce inferior feelings. And consequently, other people are going to look at you as inferior. That's the way it is. I'm sorry, but the human race does that. You know what some of you need to do? Some of you need to separate from yourself. You need to separate from yourself. What do you mean by that, Brother Owens? Your spiritual self needs to tell the unspiritual part of you to knock it off. Knock it off. Stop being so sensitive. Stop wearing your feelings on your cuff. Stop every time somebody rolls an eye, every time somebody grunts, every time somebody doesn't shake your hand. Why do you get in such a tizzy? They don't like me. I knew they didn't like me. You're miserable for 3 days because somebody was in a hurry to get to their car because they had an appointment at church. You thought they were bypassing you. They hate you. They're talking bad about you. They want to kill you. They despise you. And they think you smell bad. All they were doing was hurrying to their car after church. They weren't even thinking about you. And I can guarantee you, I can take you to person after person after person in this church that struggles with that very thing. We're so insecure. We are so afraid of what every human being alive thinks of us. Now listen, I think we should be concerned what others think. I think we should have a good testimony. But I'm not talking about your confidence and your self-image being based on what somebody else does or somebody else says. And so, first of all, I say to you, don't let others' attitude influence what you think of yourself and your confidence in doing something for God. Number two, let me give you some important areas to help you build self-acceptance or the right attitude toward yourself, if you will. Your personal appearance. Now, if you want to have a good attitude about yourself, you need to work on your personal appearance. Now, God is your creator. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Listen, the Bible says there that we are the clay and he is the potter. Now, everybody here, when you get home tonight, you look in the mirror. When you look at your nose, realize that's the nose God gave you. Don't strive with your maker about your nose. I am telling you, there are people everywhere mad at God about their nose. If you don't believe me, you check all the plastic surgeons all across America that are bringing down the big bus because they're people are displeased with what God created. Your nose, and there's no other nose like your nose, and God knows it's a good thing. There's nothing you can do about certain things. But this is what we do. We tend to blame God if we don't like something about our bodies. This could cause some subconscious resentment toward God concerning our appearance. Then, before long, because you don't like the way you look and you feel rejected and you retract yourself, you find yourself depressed about yourself. Here's what you need to do. If you want to help your appearance, stay clean. Now, there's something you can do about cleanliness. You can stay clean. That means take a shower or a bath once a week, even if you don't need it. Now, you can't do anything about how big your ears are. If people call you Dumbo baby, that's too bad. God wants you to have ears the size of an elephant. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You women, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, one of my nostrils is bigger than the other. Well, nothing we can do about that. Maybe you stuck a raisin up it or something when you were little and it's been stretched. You can't change the things that God did, but you can change some things about your appearance that you do. And that's the part you need to take care of. You need to keep yourself clean. You need to keep yourself neat. You need to learn to comb your hair, if you have any, Brother Travis, if you have any. If not, polish your head. You need to wash your clothes. You need to make sure your clothes are pressed. It wouldn't hurt you to make sure they're clean. Listen, men, turning your socks inside out is not adequate for putting on clean side. Keep your body healthy. Keep your body clean. Keep your clothes clean. Comb your hair. Clean your fingernails. You know something? Really, there's not a whole lot more you can do about what God created than that. You are a designer model. Do you know that you were created perfectly different than anybody else? That means this. When God created Greg Nash, Brother Nash, you come up here. When God created Greg Nash, God said, I have an appetite for somebody that looks just like this. Why? I'll never know. But when God created him, in the heart of God, God said, I have a desire, I have a place in my heart for a face just like that. So God created it, and you're the same. Yours isn't exactly like his. Every one of us are different. Why in the world is the human race, why are we all trying to make ourselves look like each other? Why are we doing that? Because we're saying to God, you did wrong. I don't like what you did. It is the clay disciplining the potter. You're going to feel bad about yourself until you just accept yourself. God created you the way you are. Now accept it. Now you keep what he created clean. You make it look nice. You keep it healthy. But beyond that, my friend, the rest is in the hand of God. So if you want help with your self-acceptance, you're going to have to work on your personal appearance. How do you do that? You take care. You keep yourself clean. Now, some abilities. You know, there are very few gifted people. What I'm talking about, people with natural talents. See, what you're going to have to do is you need to do the same thing that most of society has to do. You develop abilities. You develop abilities. That's through hard work and character. So what I'm telling you is, you say, well, I don't have many talents. Welcome to the club. Talents that just naturally came upon me. Most people do not. It is the development of ability that will help to raise your self-worth. What does that mean? Get trained.
Amen.
Be trainable. Have a desire to learn. I am not a talented person. You could ask anybody that knows me. I am not a talented person. I am a trained person. I don't know how to do much, but if you give me a shot at it, I'll work at it. And a lot of things come easier to a lot of people. You say, well, Brother Lewis, how do you learn to do it? I get up earlier. I stay up later. I sweat more. I work more. I toil. You say, you're a competent person. Not really, but I'll tell you this. I want trained to succeed. We all get this idea that, oh, that just comes easy for her. I've never seen anybody sit down at a piano that doesn't put in hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's easy for him. I'm very, very sorry. Most of the things that other people make look easy, they just work harder.
Yes, sir.
You got to pay the price to succeed. I'm not a talented person. I am one that desires to be trained. And there's a difference. It ought to be our goal to do all we can for God and then give Him the glory. Now listen, if you would like to help your self-acceptance, if you'd like to help and develop the right attitude towards yourself, you take the appearance God gave you, accept it, keep it clean, keep it healthy, do all you can. But beyond that, you can't do anything else. Make sure that you develop some abilities and stop looking at what you call talents and saying, well, I didn't get any of those. Stop doing that and go develop some abilities and study and prepare and learn to succeed. Then, I'm going to have to talk to you a moment about your parents. Here in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9 and 10, by the time, and here it's talking about those that strive with their master and about the potter and the clay and how the clay is rejecting the potter. And it says this for the end of the verse. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begattest thou? Or to the woman, that's his mother, what hast thou brought forth? It's talking about the father begatting and the mother bringing forth. Now, if you want to get the right attitude about yourself, some of you are going to have to get the right attitude about your parents. You're going to have to get the right attitude about your parents. There are a whole bunch of you, I need to work on you, and God wants to work on you about loving your parents. Loving your parents. Listen to me. God chose your parents. You say, I know. And that's why I don't trust God. Now listen to me, that's a dangerous attitude. God chose your parents. You know, most people who are ashamed of their parents will have a serious problem accepting themselves. Now listen to me very carefully. There is a difference in disapproving of your parents' lifestyle and being ashamed of who your parents are. I indeed agree that some of our parents or your parents didn't live right, didn't do right, and weren't model parents. I'm not asking you to condone the fact that they were drunks or harlots. I'm not asking you to condone the fact that they were abusers. I'm not asking you to condone that. I am asking you to wake up and realize God gave you some parents and you're to love them. You're not to love their sin, but you're to love them. I'll promise you, so many people that struggle with self-acceptance and confidence and insecurity, they got big problems with their parents. Big problems. Parents, you be careful not to destroy your children's self-acceptance, if you will. I find people bitter more about parental relationships than virtually anything else in this life. Here's what you've got to learn to do. I'm not asking you to condone your parents' lifestyle. I'm not asking you to condone your parents' sin. I am asking you to love them. If some of you would love them, you say, why? God gave them to you. The Bible says you're to love your enemy. If you're to love your enemy, you sure are supposed to love your parents. Say, well, my parents are my enemy. All right, then good. The Bible teaches love your enemy. And there are people in this building, you do not love your parents. And as a result of that, you struggle with you. You feel a flop. You ought to thank God that your parents gave you life. I've said this over and over again in my preaching through the years. Maybe you say, Brother Owens, my parents didn't give me character. I didn't have a good upbringing. I wasn't brought up in church. My dad was a bad man. My wife was a bad woman, or my mom was a bad woman, or whatever the case may be. Let me remind you of something. Your parents gave you the one thing you needed. They gave you life. And had they never given you life, you would have never had eternal life. Because you got to be born once before you can be born twice. And you owe your parents a debt because they helped you to get born once. And those of you that will spend your eternity in heaven, you got born again because your mom and dad helped you to get born once. So that is a pretty big debt that we owe to them, and we ought to love them because they are our parents. We don't have to love their sin. But I'm going to promise you something. If you would work on your love for your parents, some of you could love yourself a little better. Every time I turn around and I meet these people with all these insecurities and this low self-worth, you almost always hear in the conversation, I don't like my dad. Don't like my mom. Oh, I hate them. Yeah, and you hate yourself too, don't you? And so I say to you, if you want to work on your self-worth or your self-acceptance, you need to work on your personal appearance, what you can. You need to work on developing abilities so you can succeed. You need to work on your love for your parents. Then you need to get a walk with God. You need to walk with God. You can build up success in your life by spending time with God. God is a confident God. God is a spiritual God. God is a successful God. Spend time with God. Read His book. Pray. Stay in church. Why? You'll build up successes and it'll make you confident. Some of you that are scared of your own shadow and you've got a low opinion of yourself, you know something? You can come to this church service, you can sit through one of my services, you come in, you're totally deflated, you walk out and say, you know what, I think I can do this. I think I can make it. You come in and you're like the lion that had no courage in the Wizard of Oz. You go out and you say, I got me a heart. I got me some courage. You get around God and God will help you to have some confidence so you can do what He wants you to do. Successfully serving God will help you feel better about yourself. Now, number three. There are some tragic results if you reject yourself or if you had the wrong attitude about yourself. One of which is depression. You're depressed about your appearance. You're depressed about your lack of ability or success. You're depressed about your family situation, which many times can be traced back to the fact that you don't love your parents. And this eventually turns into self-pity. You don't have what Brother Bush's kids have. You didn't have that. I mean, here, his kids, Jeff, Josh, and Mindy, they're being reared in a home where mom and dad love each other and take them to church. And before long, you're saying, well, I didn't get that. I got self-change. See, that old depression will turn into self-pity, and you'll start feeling sorry for yourself. Others got things I didn't get. I feel sorry for myself. And listen, the older you get, the more depression you're going to have unless you get it taken care of. Do you know something? Whatever the case, God's Son died for you. That makes you awful valuable. Did you know that God sent His Son to die for you, and God knew enough that He knew that some of you, your parents, would not rear you in church, and some of you knew that your mom would be a whore, your dad would be a drunk, and your parents would be abusers? God sent His Son anyway. That means you're just as valuable today as you were all the way back then, and God has His eye on you, and He's got a big plan for you. Oh, but we get so self-centered, we get to looking at ourselves and what I don't have, and look at me, and I don't like me, and nobody else likes me, and I don't like my parents, and I'm not developing any abilities, and I'm not being successful. And so you live your life in this depressed stupor. God wants to use you, and He wants to use your life. Some of you just need to get off this thing. They don't like me. Nobody likes me. You spend most of your time trying to figure out if everybody likes you. They don't like me. They don't like me. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat worms. Boy. Your whole life is not to be an analyzation of whether people like you or not. God likes you. God loves you. And anybody with any good common Christian sense is going to love you in spite of you. And stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. Lift your head high and say, I am a child of God. God sent His Son. I may not have it all, but I'm going to get some of it. I'm going to be used of God. That's what you've got to do. What's the result of this self-rejection and this low self-worth? Depression. Not only that, you're going to have a lack of faith in God. It's difficult to develop a proper faith in God when you can't accept yourself. I'll tell you why. Your rejection of God's design for you and your life keeps you from having faith in God. Why? Because you don't trust Him. You don't trust Him. I'll tell you. People who have low self-worth are what I call, they're non-trusters. They don't trust anybody. You ever notice it? You all with me? They don't trust God. They don't trust themselves. They don't trust authorities in their life. Why? They got low self-worth. They don't have faith. There's a big lack of faith there. Your negative feelings about your parents that God gave you will keep you from having faith in your Heavenly Father. Remember, the parents God gave you. Though some of you say, Brother Owens, boy, this is good. There are others that are searching themselves. Their minds are racing so fast right now, it's incredible.
They're going, what? That's got me. Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't go there. Oh, no.
Listen to me now. If you'd love this, this will help you. There are some of you, you're about half freaked out in life. And you need to stop and realize that you are valuable to God and stop this bad attitude about yourself. It's not humility. It is an improper attitude of God's creation. So you're not a truster. You don't trust God. You don't trust yourself. You don't trust your leaders. Where does it come from? You have a lack of faith. Some of that lack of faith is traced back to the fact that God gave you parents and they didn't do you right, so you have depression and self-pity about it. And as a result of that, you say, you blame God. So you're not real good with God and God's authority. You don't trust God. He made a mistake in choosing your parents, so He's going to make a mistake on your life. And so will everybody else. Every authority you come in contact with, if God can make a mistake on your nose, if God can make a mistake and not give you a bunch of easy found abilities, if God can make this mistake and give you the parents He did, He can't be trusted, and neither can anybody else. So what do? Trust yourself? Oh, no. Can't do that either. It's a vicious cycle for you. So you know what you do? You just tread water in life. And I'll tell you in a minute more so what you do. Look, folks, instead of rejecting yourself, which is a slap in God's face, you should present yourself to God and anticipate anything that He's willing to do with you and say, I must have been valuable enough for your son to die. Now use me. What else happens to people like this? Rebellion. Self-rejection will kindle a fire of rebellion in your heart toward God, toward your fellow man, toward your parents, toward your boss, toward your partner, toward any authority. We live in a very unhappy society, folks. And that is a typical result of people that reject themselves. They lash out at anybody and everything. You know something I learned a long time ago? It's not me they dislike. It's themselves. It's themselves. That insecurity, it causes a rebellion and we lash out at people. Not only that, not only will it cause rebellion if you don't get this thing cared for, it'll cause withdrawal. When a person rejects themselves, they find it difficult to enjoy other people. When you reject you, you have a hard time accepting others. They tend to be super sensitive to other people's attitudes. Other people's attitudes affect their whole day. You can wake up, and if you're a self-rejecter, you can wake up with a halfway good attitude, but you get around with somebody else with a little bit of an attitude, boy, that'll ruin you right away. You don't stand on your own two feet in regard to attitude. It's always what everybody else thinks. It's always how everybody else feels. Matter of fact, these kind of people are Dr. Jekylls and Mr. Hydes. People that know them, that are around them, say, I wonder what kind of mood he's in right now. Who knows where he's at on the emotional roller coaster? Is this too real for us? I mean, one minute they're happy and the next minute they're tearing through the house mad about something. Nobody can even figure out what's going on. They're like a chameleon. Whatever the background attitude is, you can quickly adjust to it. You're to get an attitude for God and make it a good attitude and keep it no matter what everybody else does. These kind of people are extremely sensitive to other people's attitudes. And we need to be careful. Matter of fact, let me tell you this. These kind of people are runners. They're runners. I'll tell you what they do. One little person in the church looks at them cross-eyed, or they have one little tip. We're leaving the church. We're out of here. Insecure people are runners. They run from relationships. They're quitters. They'd rather quit a relationship than to have to pay the price to fix it. They also are the ones that become drug addicts and alcoholics. Some of you can thank God you're saved and in the right kind of church, because the way your attitude is, you would be a druggie if you were on the street.
You're so insecure, you run from relationships, you run from anything that's difficult when it comes to attitude. You just run. You can't stand the fact that you had a little conflict with somebody. You feel so bad about yourself. Better run! It takes some work to fix that relationship. I knew they didn't like me. I'm out of here. I can guarantee you there are people all over Berkeley County hopping from church to church to church to church to church. They're runners. They're so insecure, it's pathetic. Preacher, get up, stomp, snort, and shout and say, that's what the Bible says. No variation. They say, oh, I cannot stand no variation. Do you mean that's the way you have to live and I can't bounce all over the place and be up and down and have a good attitude today and a bad attitude tomorrow, love everybody today and hate everybody tomorrow? You mean I'm supposed to be stable? I'm leaving here right now. No stability for me. Not only that, they then end up having an overemphasis on material things. Why? Because when you reject yourself, this creates a super drive for materialism because you think if you can produce a lot of things and get a lot of things, it makes you look successful. So there's an overemphasis on clothes, an overemphasis on material goods, an overemphasis on money. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Often the people who have a poor self-image will go out and spend money they do not have trying to buy items to make themselves look successful.
Right.
Then it brings financial catastrophe. Overemphasis on making a name for ourselves. Instead of just doing what God wants. Say, wait, what do you do about it, Brother Owens? Get close to God. You get close to God so that you will see your appearance the way He sees it. You will see the development of abilities the way He sees it. You can see your parents the way He sees them. You can see that your spiritual walk with God is very important. Anybody who really wants to increase their self-worth needs to walk with God and succeed as a Christian, and they'll find out real quick they can hold their head high and accomplish something for God. If you want to help this thing, you need to accept yourself as a creation of God. We're all sinners, but God has nothing to use but sinners. You need to make sure that in your life, when you sin, you get to God, confess it, forsake it, then believe He forgives and go on and go do something with your life. You need to praise God for every little success that comes your way. Listen, folks, we're all looking for a big success in life. There's no such thing as one big success. Big success in life is a series of little successes added together, and you're just going to have to accept that. So get busy having a bunch of little successes, and at the end of your life, you can add it all together and say, wow, we made it. We did something.
Right.
Face the future with anticipation. The Bible says in Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Guess what? We're going to wake up tomorrow morning. Let's wake up and go do something for God. Your nose is as weird as my nose. I have to develop my abilities just like you have to develop your abilities. God chose your parents and God chose my parents. Now let's stop whining about it. Let's look this thing right square in the eye and say, God created me. I must be valuable. He gave His Son for me. Now God chose my parents. He knew what He was doing. I've got to develop abilities just like everybody else. I'm going to fail just like everybody else. But I am not going to spend all my time worried about what everybody else thinks. I know what God thinks about me. He loves me and He wants to use me. And I think I'll be usable and go do something for God. Or you can continue to tread water, feel bad about yourself, and every time somebody rolls their eyes, you're destroyed. You're leaving the church. You're leaving your husband. You hate everybody. Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. You think you ought to eat worms. Go take some drugs. Go get drunk. Go get some pills to calm yourself down. Or stop and realize God is interested in you. He'll do something with you if you let Him. Low self-worth. What I've said here this evening, though I've said it quickly, could help an awful lot of people if you just let it. You'd be so much more predictable. You'd be so much easier to live with. Everybody wouldn't have to walk on eggshells around you because there's just no telling what your emotions are going to do at that moment, what you're mad about, what you're happy about. Get yourself spiritually under control. It'll change your life. It'll change your family's life. God wants to use you. The clay should not be disappointed in the potter. He has a great work for you to do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.